I tend to be myself more of a contrarian, right? So when everyone is saying, you know, it's uncertain times, don't invest in CapEx or don't build a plant or don't do this M&A, I tend to look at it the other way to say this is the time to do it when not everyone else is. So yeah, we understand there are uncertainties out there. You know, if you're just talking about supply chain and globalization and, you know, globalization moving to more localization or regionalization or even friendshoring, there's going to be opportunities, right? Because in uncertain times, there are always opportunities. So I think my comment would be is, you know, don't look at it as a fearful scenario, but rather as an opportunity to expand markets or potentially go through M&A.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Hi-D is a pure, effective 25-hydroxy-D3 solution to help pigs improve their vitamin D status. Improve bone health and lifetime productivity with Hi-D. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/HY-D. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high quality, safe, and sustainable way. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers.
Tired of solving swine nutrition challenges alone? The Swine Nutrition Inner Circle connects swine nutritionists who share real insights on formulation, ingredient variability, and diet adjustments. When you need clarity, experts are just a conversation away. Join at swinenutritioninnercircle.com and connect with peers who understand the work you do every day.
Welcome to the Swine Podcast Show, brought to you by Wyzenetics. I'm Marcio Gonçalves, founder at Wyzenetics, and I'm here to bring you fresh insights and real conversations on this special episode about what's happening in the swine industry. And we're going to be talking about business and other things. So let's get started and see what we can learn in today's episode with a special guest as well, Apurva Shah. He's the CEO of SAM Nutrition. And again, we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship in the swine industry. Apurva, how are you today? Thanks for joining.
Good, Marcio. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. So let's get right into it. The first question would be, you know, in your experience, from what you are seeing out there, how are geopolitical tensions that we see all the time now reshaping the global trade? And how is that forcing companies to rethink their supply chains?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, obviously, being headquartered here in Bloomington, Minnesota, and in the United States, we've seen a lot of geopolitical trade and tensions over the last, you know, 9 months. And I think a lot of companies have kind of hit the pause button on you know, whether it's CapEx, infrastructure, expansion, just to see how things are going to shake out. You know, I mean, just last week, looks like we have a trade deal with the United States and China. Because of that, we've seen soybean meal prices go up drastically over the last few weeks. But I think everyone is still very, very, very cautious. So I think what we are starting to see now is that more companies are saying, well, obviously, since 2018, since the first tariffs were put on China, there's been a China plus one strategy, right? So, yes, we can have a core supplier, you know, in China, but we need to find alternate supply. So I think companies have had, at least here in the United States, have had 5 to 7 years to really say, OK, let's figure out a way to move supply chains away from some of these high-risk areas, right? And then COVID obviously exacerbated that issue when we couldn't get certain things. So, you know, supply chains have been, I think there's a lot of supply chain fatigue, right? I think with CEOs and everyone else, we're just like, we want a little bit of consistency. But, you know, I believe regionalization is a real thing, right? Or localization and globalization, in my humble opinion, is continuing to, there's a lot of issues with that, right? So it's a lot of the other CEOs is find things close to home, right? If we need to pay a little bit more, but knowing that we have a steady stream of supply, there, I think that some of them are, and us are looking at, hey, you know what, we can take some of those margin hits, just to know that there's a continuity and we don't have to deal with ups and, you know, up and down in prices. And some of the other CEOs that I've talked to, you know, they said when the initial tariff announcements were made, they said that that was potentially going to hit into their bottom line anywhere from 20 to 40%, right? Just based on where things were going to go. And obviously, there have been a lot of exemptions. You know, there's been three annex lists, 1, 2, and 3 that have exempted certain products from tariffs. But some of the other products continue to get tariff, right? I mean, we, as we look at construction and building new plants here in the United States, we've seen the cost of steel continue to go up because of the tariffs on steel. So it's been, I think, challenging, but I believe that the current administration has made it very clear that they do want to work out fair trade, right? Not free trade. It's about fair trade. And we're starting to see that take shape with the announcements the last couple of weeks. So, but it, you know, in my opinion, I think we're going to see, even though that there's going to be some trade deals worked out, I think we're going to continue to see CEOs and supply chain managers and look at ways to minimize that risk moving forward.
At Nexus, powered by SAM, we redefine livestock nutrition with science-backed innovations that enhance performance, maximize efficiency, and promote sustainability. We connect producers with the future of animal health and productivity through cutting-edge feed technologies and environmentally conscious solutions. By addressing the demand for efficient, sustainable nutrition, we reflect SAM Nutrition's commitment to excellence, delivering premium, scientifically proven solutions that drive results.
No, definitely a challenge there. And for you, what does true resiliency look like today in critical sectors like food, energy, and housing?
Yeah, I mean, I think true resiliency, we can let's start with food. I think what we have seen is that we have a true resiliency, at least here in the United States, and I would say probably globally, a resiliency on China. We talk about vitamin production, for example. You know, China manufactures anywhere from, you know, 70 to 100% of global vitamins, depending on what vitamin you're looking at. And I think that's a true resiliency issue, right? Because if we cannot get vitamins, not just for feeding animals or feeding pigs, what does that do to the cost of animal protein globally? And China controls and continues to dominate dominate those sectors. So, I think things like that, you've got amino acids that they continue to have more and more production in China, and it's getting exported to the rest of the world. You can even look at penicillin or amoxicillin or some of these other drugs that are required. And, there's some startling information out there that if, you know, China stops exports of, you know, amoxicillin, penicillin, or any of these antibiotics, you could see large-scale potential death happening globally if we can't get antibiotics into the hands of regular people. So, there is a huge, you know, I would say, food issue, and I think what resiliency looks like there is very similar to what the, you know, I would say the current Trump administration is doing with microchips or semiconductors, or saying, you know what, these are absolutely critical for what we need, and we need to produce these here locally. And I think every single country is looking at this and saying, you know what, we need to do the same thing, right? We need to have food, energy, and shelter, and making those three a top priority to ensure the stability of not just our economy, but of our society. So I think what we're going to continue to see is more and more countries are going to say, let's localize this, let's regionalize this, and let's not rely on other countries for those three, because it is going to be a bigger issue, especially with, you know, on the energy front. We're going to see that data centers are continuing to use, with artificial intelligence, continuing to use more and more and more power. And if we don't produce that power, there are some statistics out there that said that there are going to be rolling blackouts in the United States by 2030 or beyond because of just the pure demand of energy. And China's building coal-fired power plants, every few days. and our energy can, energy production is like this, while theirs is going like this. So we've got to feed these data centers, and you know, it's going to be a big issue moving forward.
Wow, yeah. Sometimes people don't realize, but just to run AI takes a lot of energy, right? That's wild. Amazing. Talking about AI, so how is artificial intelligence transforming day-to-day operations and decision-making on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, I can, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, how we're managing things, right? I mean, obviously with things like, you know, Grok or Copilot or ChatGPT and many others, it's allowing our staff to do a lot more with a lot less. Right now, we're using almost AI as a tool internally to help speed up day-to-day tasks, right, that are going on. We have started even looking at some of our distribution and manufacturing centers to say there are now AI-powered forklifts that exist out there. So saying, can we have something like that that's going in and saying, well, pick a pallet, load a pallet, ship a pallet, and do it. And right now there are companies here in the United States that say, hey, we've got 120,000 square foot facility. We can automate that completely. So it might even allow us to say, well, you know, our team works, the A shift in the morning, they leave. We could potentially have AI-powered forklifts getting some of these products ready to go. So when they're ready in the morning, these trucks are already staged and ready to go from an outbound perspective. So, it's evolving so rapidly, and it's such a breakneck pace that I believe that there's just going to be so much opportunity for our industry. And, and like you look at from a decision-making perspective, we looked at like soybean meal, for example, right? We said, well, when, you know, you can ask Grok and say, based on current weather forecasts and this and that and the other thing, when do you think that soybean meal is going to hit over $325 a ton? And it gives you a full business case of, okay, we've got more soybean oil processing here in the United States, and here's how it's impacting its soybean meal being a byproduct. And, you know, we believe that soybean meal is going to hit, you know, this X threshold by 2027, right? And it's allowing us to do so much more with so much less. I think truly making everyone's life easier. And I believe it's going to revolutionize the food and ag sector.
I love that. I love that. And I mean, this whole topic of AI, like World Pork Expo, I think my favorite question was to ask everybody that I met, like, hey, how are you leveraging AI? And most of the answers were like, not so much. And I got very concerned, very, very, very concerned, because we as an industry should be leveraging a lot of AI. And I mean, heck, there's the robots. I guess the first one that was announced was Neo, right? $20,000 robot. I mean, in the beginning, it's going to be some training and whatever, but maybe in 3 to 5 years, that's going to be crazy, right? 5 to 10 years. I think a lot of people are going to have robots in their homes. And just to share with the audience briefly on this topic, a few things that we are using as well in the company. There's a website called lovable.dev. It's a $2 billion company. It's 2 years old, 100 million plus revenue a year already. But that website, you can build any software application. So we are using that to build our own software for our company, and we even launched a software company out of that. But that's mind-blowing, right? The other one I think some people have heard, it's called Gamma app. You can build PowerPoint presentations in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, which is also crazy. And then finally, the projects, right, in Claude or GPT. A lot of people are using GPT, but they don't use the projects option, which makes it better, more you can upload files and just be more organized by topic. For example, on that topic, just to, again, share with everybody what I'm doing for my health, I uploaded all my health data, like, for the last 5 years to that, and I asked questions. And so when we meet with a doctor for 10 minutes, they don't have the ability to read through 5 years of results to make a recommendation. So it's amazing. I just encourage everybody on the swine industry to double click in AI. I think a lot of the large companies are going to be slower just because, right? But then the startups, the smaller companies, they have amazing opportunities there. Anything else on this topic before we move forward?
No, I mean, I think we're gonna. I really see AI transforming, you know, a variety of different things. I mean, right now you've got, you know, let's just talk about swine, right? You've got folks on the ground that are managing these barns day in, day out. You've got disease challenges. You know, we've got PED, PERS that continue to break out here in the U.S. Obviously, ASF is continuing to spread globally, just hit Taiwan not too long ago. But it's going to integrate all of this data that's being collected real time, right? I mean, we're already starting to see that you've got cameras in barns that can pinpoint when a chicken or a pig is getting sick, right? And then we know that the nutritionists are going to be changing some formulas to say, okay, well, we need to probably put some more antibiotics or whatever it may be going in to the animal feed. So taking all of that information, AI is going to be able to, I think, probably decrease mortality substantially. I think it's going to be able to pinpoint disease before it even happens, right? Before a pig gets sick to a point of dying. And I believe that it's going to probably revolutionize the nutrition industry to say, you know what are we feeding these animals? What is going on with soybean meal and corn in the future? You know, this is what we believe, that if soybean meal futures are down, corn futures are up, here's what the next 6 months or a year of a diet that's going to look like, right? And it's going to be able to give all of that to you based on the data that's just coming in. So I think it's going to absolutely revolutionize our industry as we look at everything from robotics, cameras, artificial intelligence, both at the farm level, but also at the nutrition level. And it's going to make our system so efficient, I think, globally. So I think it's a very exciting time, and hope everyone in the industry continues to embrace it, because I think it's going to lead to a lot of efficiency.
Yes. And what is that quote? You're not going to be replaced by AI. You are going to be replaced by someone that is using AI. So,
correct.
You know, everyone out there, you better be using AI. You know, it's crazy. So love it. And on the same topic, with the automation of things like robots and other things accelerating, approval, how should leaders prepare their teams and their workforce for AI-driven disruption?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and we've already started doing that here internally. You know, as you rightly mentioned, your job's not going to get replaced by AI, right? It's going to get replaced by someone who uses AI. So, you know, one of the things that we've done internally is trained everyone on the AI tools that exist out there. And we know that not all AI tools are the same, right? Because there's also a data integrity portion too. Like, if we don't want sensitive data being uploaded into AI and saying, okay, give me a solution, because obviously it's feeding algorithms and all sorts of other things in there. There's a little bit of data privacy issues too. So that was the first step, right? We said, what is AI? What is the data that we can share with AI? What are the privacy risks that are associated with from a data integrity perspective? And then what are some of the next things that we can start doing, right? So we have been talking about this now for at least a year internally. And now we've got, you know, our CRM has AI built in that allows us to start pinpointing, say, okay, we had this customer has not bought from us in this time, instead of people going out and combing reports. So I think it's really educating the staff to say, yes, AI is here. It's not here to replace your job. It's here to make everyone more efficient. And here are the tools that we can bring to your disposal so they can use it, right? And I think there's a fear, and I think there's a rightful fear. I mean, you look at some companies like Amazon or Salesforce, right, that say, well, AI is now writing 70% of our code. And, you know, can be scary, right, for computer programmers or folks in the information technology sectors. But you know, I think for our business, it's an opportunity to learn and be at the forefront of how AI is going to impact the food and ag sector.
I love it. And I mean, over the last 6 months or a year for me, it feels like it's 1999 and you're in Silicon Valley and, you know, the internet is coming, and it's so exciting. It's wild. Now, what do you think is the right balance between investing in AI, AI innovation, and protecting the existing jobs or skill sets?
Yeah. And, You know, at least in our business, you know, if you're looking at LLMs, they're good, but we still need people, right? And I think long term, you know, I'm not in the AI field. I don't know what the absolute breakthroughs that are occurring every single day, what that looks like. I can kind of see where things will go, especially as you mentioned earlier with like the robot, the Neo robot, right? I mean, that's the first one. There's going to be so many iterations that are going to come out that are going to continue to be better. Very similar to what we've seen with self-driving, right? When Tesla first announced it a long time ago to now where you see full self-driving, it's going to take 10 years to really kind of perfect the technology. But in the meantime, I think what we have to look at is saying, well, yes, our jobs are protected. You know, AI is a tool that's here to assist you. It's not here to take your job over. But we want to continue to invest in things that that our employees need, right? So, I mean, we're going to start looking and saying, well, what are some of the mundane tasks, right, that you have to do day in and day out, right? For if you're inside sales or exterior sales, okay, you're combing through data, right? So now let's get AI to do that for you so the mundane tasks are off your plate. If you're in supply chain or procurement, you're saying, well, what's it going to look like to say, instead of me sitting here combing through data and Excel sheets, we can get purchasing recommendations from our AI robots or say, this is based on supply and demand. Here's when we should be purchasing next, right? Or combing through, you know, what's happening with copper prices because of, you know, an Indonesian mine that flooded and we saw the price of copper go up. What does this mean long term? So it's really investing in those things, in the tasks that are really mundane, and getting those off of the plates of folks here so that they can go focus on strategic initiatives. And then at the plants, at the warehouses, you know, we're looking at how do we make sure that people aren't having to pick up, you know, 50-pound bags, right? What can we do to automate that? Or operating any sort of manual work so that they can really go focus on running plants at full efficiency. So it's about, I would say, that tedious work right now, the work that, like, it's we have to do it, but no one wants to do it, and really targeting that. And I think that helps to get some motivation up for everyone to say, look at what AI can do for us.
I love it. And what's crazy to think, right? Nobody anticipated that, like you said, the software developers would be the first ones to pretty much be replaced to a degree with AI. And then, right, maybe lawyers. And now I have some friends, like, who are you using for a lawyer? And they're like, I'm using ChatGPT. Okay, well, consult a lawyer for sure. But for simple things, it's amazing. And now the handy jobs, like, the handyman type of jobs, plumbers and roofing, that kind of stuff, those are going to be the last ones probably to be replaced. But I think what it's cool here for anyone that is afraid is that 20 years from now, I think the future is of abundance, right? To a degree, it doesn't matter if one agrees or disagrees with like universal basic income. But if the future is abundant and there's a lot of robots doing the boring work, at 20 years from now, people are going to be like, okay, do whatever you want. Do the thing that you love, which can create a whole lot of other problems, like what's the meaning of life and stuff. So that's a whole different conversation.
On that topic, I 100% agree with you. You know, I think the way kind of I look at the future is very similar. You know, you may have, say, one parent who's a software developer, right? And one parent who's doing something else. One parent may lose their job, but like, as you mentioned, the future is so abundant that AI should really be deflationary long term. The prices of things should continue to go down. So you may have two parents right now that are working and they say, we know what's happening with birth rates right across the world. You know, birth rates in most countries are continuing to go down. So, and in some kind, in you know, countries, even in the United States, they're saying, well, we just can't afford to have kids. So if the future is so abundant and the prices come down, if you have one parent working at home and one parent that's not, you're going to probably have a new baby boom, right? Because you're going to have more kid parents are going to say, we can actually afford to have kids. And you know, the universal basic income is a political question, so we won't go there, but that may be coming in the future too. Who knows?
Yes. It's going to be a very interesting future. I love it. How can business leaders turn volatility and uncertainty into opportunities, you think, for innovation and market expansion?
Yeah, I think another great question. I tend to be myself more of a contrarian, right? So when everyone is saying, you know, it's uncertain times, don't invest in CapEx or don't build a plant or don't do this M&A. I tend to look at it the other way to say this is the time to do it when not everyone else is. So, yeah, we understand there are uncertainties out there. If you're just talking about supply chain and globalization and, you know, globalization moving to more localization or regionalization or even friendshoring, there's going to be opportunities, right? Because in uncertain times, there are always opportunities. So I think my comment would be is, you know, don't look at it as a fearful scenario, but rather as an opportunity to expand markets or potentially go through M&A. Here in the United States in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to have a lot of baby boomers, the baby boomer generation that's retiring, and they're going to have businesses that they have to sell, right? And we just saw this, I would say even more recently right now with that public announcement with like Alltech and ADM, right? That they're combining and creating this new entity. So you've got two massive behemoth companies that are saying there's opportunities for us, right? To cut down costs and increase efficiencies and put our powers together. And I think those are the opportunities like that are going to continue to come out during these times of uncertainty. So I think was it Warren Buffett that said, always when people are greedy, be fearful. And when people are fearful, be greedy. So I kind of like to live by that motto.
When it comes to raising healthy, strong swine, the environment makes all the difference. Pancopia provides better environmental conditions for swine so that they can grow faster and more efficiently. Grow smarter, grow stronger, and watch your profits soar. Pancopia, the future of swine care starts here. Visit pancopia.com today to learn more.
Fascinating. Apurva, from a CEO's perspective, how do you balance mitigating risk with making these bold bets that you are talking about to drive growth?
Yeah, I think again, great question. And I'm going to go back and just say, you know, I think with as I look at kind of the animal feed and animal protein industry, I mean, we haven't had, I would say, too much innovation, I would say, in the last 5 to 7 years. Right. I think we've had it's from an innovation perspective, it's kind of flatlined. If you go back from the 80s to, you know, maybe mid 2010s, we've seen innovation kind of go like this. And now it's starting to flatline. So to answer your question about mitigating risk, I think you've got to have shared risk. So I think joint ventures, again, I'll use the Alltech ADM example. Right. They see an opportunity to combine, share the risk, share the reward. And I think that's where things are going to continue to go in the future. It's going to be partnerships, joint ventures, and ways for us to work, companies to work together to help mitigate the risk and then still continue to, you know, make bold bets. But you know, I think it's going to be shared risk, shared reward in the future.
I love it. What are the top mistakes people and business leaders and entrepreneurs make when they're running a company in your experience?
Before I joined SAM, I worked for a startup company, and it was not in this industry. It was not in food and agriculture. And while I was a first employee there for the group, and I tend to use this story where I just said, you know, I learned how not to run a business there. And it was just as important as to how to run a business. And I would never trade that experience for anything because I learned so much there. But I think one of the things is like, your mission statement is so important, right? And your mission statement will change because when I joined SAM Nutrition, family business, my dad started it and, you know, joined in 2011, our mission statement was completely different than it is right now. And we have to continue to change that mission and vision statement every few years, you know, I'd say every 5 years, because the markets change and things change. So I think for the biggest mistake I see is that don't try to be everything to everyone, right? Use a sniper rifle approach rather than a shotgun approach. Do one thing really, 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 really well and continue to excel at it. And then number three is know what your mission and vision is and don't be afraid to change it.
I love it.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Vaxinova, formulate to your needs. Custom-made vaccines. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. Better production performance starts with Eastman Choline Chloride. Visit eastman.com. A worldwide leader in animal nutrition, Adiseo's portfolio of products includes Nephironine, the full range of vitamins, enzymes, organic selenium, probiotics, mycotoxin management strategies, and palatability products. With such a diverse offering, Adiseo supports its customers with a broad range of expertise, tools, and services to help them maintain a competitive advantage. Adiseo, fueling predictable profits. To learn more, visit Adiseo at www.adiseo.com.
As we get to the end here, anything that you'd like to add before we jump into the final three famous questions that we have?
Nothing. I'm excited to see what these questions are.
Yeah, cool. First one is, what's your favorite swine-related book or resource?
Swine-related book or resource? I don't know if I have a swine book per se. I think from a resource perspective, I got to give a shout out to the American Feed Industry Association, the AFIA. They're a great resource for us. You know, I think the United States Swine Health Improvement Program, USSHIP, that has done an incredible job on things such as swine biosecurity, you know, quarantine protocols and programs. We're really excited about the work that they're doing there. I think those are the top two. And I also want to say the Swine Health Improvement Center, SHIC. They're in Minnesota, so I got to give a shout out to them. They do a lot for our swine community, not just here in Minnesota, but across the nation. But those are three resources that have definitely made a big difference in our business.
Those are great. What is your favorite book or resource in business?
You know, I'd have to say I just finished reading a book called The Second Mountain, and it's by David Brooks. And I think for, you know, some CEO like myself, and I don't want to give up too much that's in this book, but it's, you know, growing up, always wanted to be in business, you know, worked very hard and, you know, with the blessings of God and everyone else and hard work, have gotten to, you know, live out a dream that I only dreamt of as a little kid, right? And so now it's about what's next in life. And David Brooks does a great job, and that's why he calls it the second mountain. It's like, what is the next mountain that you're going to go and conquer? So, you know, I think it's about keeping that hunger and staying hungry. And I'll leave it at that. It's been a book that I just finished and I really enjoyed.
I'll check that out. That's cool. The next one, there's a little bit of overlap with the one we discussed on top mistakes, but in your opinion, what sets successful entrepreneurs apart from those who are not?
Someone told me that the riches are in the niches, right? And I think I've heard about many entrepreneurs are like, oh, you know what, I'm going to get into the AI field, or I'm going to get into doing this or doing that. And I'm like, that's great, but what's differentiating you from everyone else, right? And they'll say something or the other, but I'm like, is that delta, you know, this much, or is it this much? Because if it's only this much, there's not too much differentiating. And I think going back to my, I was like, you got to have a vision, you got to be, to a point where you have to be absolutely, I would say, addicted to it, to see that success, right? Crave it. And I think if you have those three and find your niche, I think you're going to succeed.
Yeah, like being obsessed, right? I love it. That makes sense. Cool. So that wraps up another episode of the Swine Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Thank you, the audience, for being here today. Thank you, Apurva. It was a pleasure talking to you. I would say to the audience, you know, don't forget to subscribe our podcast, share with everybody you know. And if you like the podcast, leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable. And until the next time, and again, Apurva, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcio. And thanks for everyone. Thanks for everyone for listening.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.